The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Born into a broken home, born into poverty, father with a sixth grade education as a welder, mother as a house cleaner, graduate from Harvard Law School, go on to practice law for 15 years, write 3 books, speaking to people all over the world. America is the place where that happens, as it happens nowhere else in the world.
E.W. Jackson shares his story of embracing the sweet land of liberty next.
But I want to welcome you to life today. James Robinson, Mike, Betty, and I. Listen to me now. Listen closely. This program is of a very serious nature. I want to say this to you, and you've got to hear it. Everything you ever cared about, everything you should care about, everything that everybody who knows what matters should care about is at stake. And if you don't hear, and you don't heed, and you don't respond according to the one who knows best will, the Creator, the Father, nature's God. If we don't respond properly to what's on His heart and His mind and what is in His will, listen to me, the future of freedom is finished. And I mean, time is on a countdown. It's countdown to zero. But the stage is set, now please don't miss this, for the greatest awakening since the resurrection of Jesus. The birth of this nation, America, many say, was second only to the birth of Jesus in greatness. I don't really question or challenge that. Matter of fact, there are several prime ministers and people of other countries who were their leaders for years and respected who said that about this country. Well, we're about to lose it. I'm telling you, the stage is set to lose it or to see the greatest resurrection since the birth of this nation, since the resurrection of Christ, which led to the birth of every great thing that ever happened. And we're in the process of losing it. This is a book that's just been released, E.W. Jackson. I've never considered a greater, more important book. And let me just say this to you. You help us save a child's life and we'll send it to you. You hear what I'm saying to you? And this is the key, and it's not a tough read. It's not a short read, but Betty, you got so captivated by the truth in this book, you could hardly talk, and you got me so fired up about it, I just about started walking on air. And did you just see hope in the content?
I did. I saw such heart in his words and such clarity that just people like me that hasn't had the high education don't know all the fancy words and all that, but I do know God, and I know He loves me, and I have the heart of God in me because Jesus is in me. And just to read this book, and the same words just jumped out at me, and I thought, I get it.
Well, E.W. Jackson is here. Let me just say this to E.W. You and I have done some things together with a lot of leaders, and our hearts beat in harmony. And we had very similar backgrounds. And I want you to hit that background of poverty and no father, no typical home, just wondering if we'd ever even have a future. And yet nothing could stop us. In spite of the difficulty, a miracle occurred, and you graduated from Harvard. I barely graduated from high school. I don't have a college degree. I got a bunch of lawyer doctor's degrees bestowed on me, but I don't even have a college degree, okay? I don't have a junior college degree. But listen to me, man. You are so full of the truth. I am so excited about this book. What moved you at this moment in time to write this book?
You know, it's very simple. When I got saved, James, and I'll talk a little bit about my salvation when we get into that, God impressed something on me that I never saw before. I served in the Marine Corps, and I learned a duty to my country. But when I got saved, God caused me to fall in love with America as a gift. And you said it, one of the greatest gifts He'd ever given to mankind, to any people. And God impressed upon me that I, meaning every single citizen, is a steward of this gift. And I've been taught really to kind of resent America. I'm talking about, I was a child of the 60s, resent America, be angry about it. And God revolutionized my whole idea and showed me, this is something I've given to you, and now I expect you to play a role in preserving and honoring what I've given. And that's why the book is called Sweet Land of Liberty. It comes from my favorite patriotic hymn, My Country 'Tis of Thee, Sweet Land of Liberty of Thee I Sing.
Yeah. Okay. Hit your childhood a little bit.
I was born into a broken home. My mother and father had broken up before I was born. And so my mother went one way. My father maintained custody of me because of differences that they had. And I bounced around for the first 14 months of my life among my father's friends, and at the age of 14 months landed in foster care. And was there for 10 years. And by the time I was 10 years old, I was a delinquent kid. I didn't go to school half the time. I was a member of a gang. We were having gang fights, committing petty crimes. I was on my way to jail or an early death because that's what's happened. That's what ultimately happened to a lot of the guys I hung out with. And my father rescued me out of foster care at the age of 10 years old.
What led him to do that?
You know, this is one of the things I say about America. My father wasn't saved at the time. But, you know, there was a time we had a consensus in America about Judeo-Christian values, about certain principles, personal responsibility. My father later explained to me, I never gave you up, but I just felt that I could not take care of you as a single father, and you needed a family to do that. But when I saw the direction in which things are going, I saw you were at an age where I thought you and I could work it out. I thought I'd better step in, because if I didn't step in, I was going to lose you to the streets. And he was right.
Okay, so he took you now. Take us through real quickly. You went through one hard challenge after another, and then what led to the change that ultimately ends up, you actually end up at Harvard, which was amazing. At one point, you didn't look like you was going to pass a grade, and then you moved up to the top of the class. And what was going on?
From fifth grade failure to sixth grade A student, and it was on from there. But, you know, I get emotional about this because my dad was a man of profound wisdom. He was a man who believed in God, James, honored God. He hadn't surrendered his life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and begun to serve him, but he believed in God that we were all accountable to him. And he taught me, son, what you do with your life is up to you. Nobody owes you anything. You have to work for what you want. Don't come back to me with excuses. You go out there and get it. I expect you to study, to stay out of trouble. I expect you to obey me. I mean, he laid down the law, and I found that he was prepared to enforce it, and it changed my life.
Okay, you ended up at Harvard. You come out of Harvard. You're on a journey. Tell us about how Jesus got into that journey, and then tell us how we get to you releasing this book and spending your life on the radio, everywhere you speak. Every time we have had you here, every time you have shared, you have lit up everybody watching. You have helped, even in the last election, refocus the thinking of this country to realize we better make some positive changes, and you did that right here in this studio, and it went really around the world. But you had a change in your life that led you on what journey to the point of this book?
I was at Harvard Law School. My father got saved late in life. I mean, really saved. And told me, he said, you know what I'm doing? So I said, what? He said, I'm reading the Bible from cover to cover. And I thought to myself, in my intellectual mind, that's interesting. The Bible's one of the great books. I think I'll do that. So at cocktail parties, I can comment on it intelligently. I began to read the Bible, and James, it came alive. I got convicted. September 1976, I started reading the Bible from cover to cover. In October of that year, I came across David, who Betty convinced me that Christianity wasn't for women and children, that a real man could love God. And on December 22nd of 1976, the old song says, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I mean, God had entered that room and proved to me his reality. I tapped my wife on the shoulder, got up and tapped my wife on the shoulder and said, you know what? My wife looked at me real sweet because I hadn't been going to church. She said, what? I said, I think I'm saved. And my wife literally almost fell out. Because I went back to church that Sunday. She couldn't drag me to church. Mm-hmm. And that Sunday, I went back to church, surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and never looked back.
Okay. Tell us about why the book right now. And I have never seen anything more relevant, more important. I've never seen anything presented more clearly than what E.W. presents right here. in this incredible book, not a short read, not a hard read, because it's in such clear English. It is written at a level that everybody that can read can not only get it, but it'll get you. It'll get your heart. And I'm going to tell you, if we don't take the truth that's in this book and apply it right now, and in the next 24 months, have a total pendulum swing, freedom has no future in this country or in this world. And we're going to see ourselves under the control of the most anti-God forces that have ever existed. And here's the problem. We have seen the enemy on the outside for a long time. But right now, the enemy is in the high ruling places in this country. He has not only taken over the justice system, he has thrown aside justice. He has not only redefined law, he has enforced lawlessness. We have seen everything that ever mattered cease to really matter to the people that are the only ones who can make the difference, and they can do it. We still have time to do it. You believe, and I know because you say it here, I've heard you say it when we've been in meetings together, the greatest opportunity for the greatest awakening in history is now. The stage is set for that, and it's either going to be that great awakening or the most catastrophic collapse in the history of the world. You agree with that?
James, where else in the world does a guy who everybody on in certain ideological perspectives says, you can't make it because you're black, a guy born into a broken home, born into poverty, raised in foster care, father with a sixth grade education as a welder, mother as a house cleaner, graduate from Harvard Law School, go on to practice law for 15 years, write 3 books, speaking to people all over the world. America is the place where that happens, as it happens nowhere else in the world. And I'm not unusual. I mean, there are millions of stories like your stories like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. That's right.
And what God has impressed upon me, James, is we've got to preserve that. We can't allow the devil to take it away from us. And we've got to stand up. I tell people, you got to stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. And sometimes it's going to cost us. I mean, I've lost friends. My wife and I, we had people tell us who we thought we had friends who were going to be our youngest daughter's godparents. They found out where we stood on the issues, and they said, well, we don't want to be godparents to people like you. Mm. I mean, there's a price to be paid, but there is such a gift of immeasurable value to be protected and preserved, and that is the United States of America. That's you right. know, Thomas Paine said, these are the times that try men's souls. And then he said, those who step to this time are worthy of the thanks and love of man and woman. And I believe that God has placed us at a moment just like that moment during the Revolutionary War that he was speaking of. You got to stand up and you got to refuse to back up if you're going to preserve the greatest, one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given.
All right. If we're going to correct this nation's course, and we've got to begin the course correction right now, give us some steps. What are the concerns you have?
The division. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have become convinced that rather than one nation under God, we need to be a bunch of warring tribes. Tribalism's been tried, and it doesn't work, because all it does is destroy people from within. And one of the messages of the book is, I love this country even though I'm a descendant of slaves. And I tell people, I don't care how my ancestors got here, I'm just glad they got here, because I really believe that there was something deeper going on than slavery, which was a worldwide phenomenon. I believe that God was assembling a nation unlike any other by bringing people of different colors, languages, backgrounds, all together in this wonderful experiment we call personal, individual liberty. And we're all beneficiaries of it. So we have got to teach our children that this is something valuable. And we've got to tell them, it's not the color of your skin. It's the content of your character that really matters. And to me, that's where it starts, because the division threatens to destroy us, because Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand.
I have seen the enemy come in and throw aside God as God as the Creator, as nature's God. We are talking a lot about the Second Amendment, and you see the danger of what can happen when the wrong people have control of killing instruments and so forth. But it's even more devastating if you don't have the ability to protect yourself from the people who come to kill and to destroy. And so we need that. But we were arguing about the Second Amendment. We have thrown the First Amendment totally out the window. I mean, it is gone. If you disagree with this power base that has said what God says doesn't matter, marriage really doesn't matter, you can redefine it, gender doesn't matter, you can reestablish it, sex is totally whatever you want it to be, and they are literally changing God's Word into a lie. They're taking the Word of God, they're not just disobeying it, they're not discounting it, they're not doubting it, they are changing it into a lie. Once that happens, you can't think straight. Now, that's where we are right now. But the hope is to what? Return to the Word of God, which you show very clearly. And if we will return to the God of the Word and put Him first and exercise our responsibility to choose principle leadership, which you talk about all the principles that matter, we can correct the course. Isn't that what both of us are holding on for?
There is a virulent anti-Christian bigotry that is alive in our country like we've never seen before. It's almost now, you can talk about people from whatever their background almost, and people will excoriate you. You say anything about homosexuality, abortion,
transgenderism,
anything. But you can talk about Christians like they're not even human, like they don't even matter. So we've got to come back as Christians. Imagine if black, white, Asian, Indian, men,
Latino,
women, all denominations came together and said, we're going to stand together on the Word of God, and we're going to base leadership on adherence to God's Word
His
as
principles.
Truth.
His principles. They're unshakable. They're undeniable. They work. And when you violate them and cast them aside, the consequences are undeniable and they are catastrophic and they are confirmed by history. You don't have to read the awful things that happen when you change God's Word into a lie. You can see it throughout history. And then when you build on those unshakable principles, the blessings and beauty that follow are also indescribable, but we can experience them, we can express them, we can share them. And right now, the responsibility to guard them is here. I want you to get the book. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'll send it to you if you'll do something. I want you to look in at what our viewers, Betty, saw us doing years ago when we went and found the third world children, primarily in Africa, and we realized we have the ability in the free world, and certainly here in America, to give food to those precious hungry children. And Betty, our whole world changed. We began to put God's arms around what Jesus called the least of these. And you jumped at the opportunity of loving those who appeared to be unnoticed. You have an opportunity right now to help us continue to save children's lives. And at the same time, we have an opportunity together to get God's arms and God's foundational principles back under the feet of the people in this nation. We have an opportunity to turn back to what transforms and changes everything and inspires us to do these great things and have the compassion you're going to see right now as you watch God express His love through Tammy in Africa. Watch closely.
The things that I've seen, the things that I've gotten to experience have been emotional. There's been some good days and there's been some bad days. My favorite days are when I get to go into a village and serve the children, especially when I get to sit down and feed them a bowl of food that they get every day. And gosh, what an incredible moment that really is, knowing that in that place, in that moment, I'm privileged to be a part of bringing them life through a bowl of food. And then you get in the car on the next day and you travel hours to get to a clinic like this, only to sit in a place like this and to watch this precious little girl fight for her life because she doesn't have that one bowl of food every day. Her body's shutting down. She is dying. And I wonder how long she has to live. I think that if she was in a village where there was a feeding program set up, how her life would be so very different. And I've seen the power in just one bowl of food, something so incredibly simple that brings life to so many hundreds of thousands of children. It's hard to watch any child die, knowing that there's something that we could do to help prevent that death.
Tammy, I know you watch the shows and you check in. Thank you for putting God's arms around so many children all over the Third World and all over Africa. Betty, I know when, I don't know if you noticed, but that little child there at the first one, Tammy referred to feeding him, and that little child put that spoon up to his mouth. Just look at that. Look at that little bowl, little food. How could we not want to put food in that child's mouth when we can and know that it would keep them from ending up in that malnutrition clinic? But Betty, do you know what keeps them from going there? We start feeding them where we find them, and they're starving, and we set up the feeding lines and the feeding programs. And that's why we're asking you to help us right now feed 350,000 children like that we have found to feed. And do you know how the malnutrition clinics came to be? We said we're going to give it one more shot, whatever it takes. And you established those clinics, your love, God's love through you. We do everything we can to do what? To share the life and love of God in demonstration, not just in talk, but in deed. And that's what we're asking you to do. It's really what EW and I have been talking to you about doing today, about literally changing the direction of this nation to come back to the freedom that made us great and keeps us great and gives us the ability to be a blessing because we're so blessed by the reality of freedom. Now then, we are blessed. There are many of you right now who have the ability to help us feed hundreds of children. Do you know that for $30, $50, or $100, we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months? And we've got 350,000? I mean, think about it. Think what $1,000 will do. Think what, could you help us feed 10 with 100? Whatever you can do, we have some gifts to send you to say thank you, because we always want to put in your hand something that will go into your heart and that will refresh you spiritually and bless you and your family. But you are giving the greatest gift. You're giving those precious children. Jesus called the least of these the unnoticed. But when you do this, you are my sheep, and you will prove to be my disciples by the way you do it together in supernatural unity. This is the last week. Would you right now please go get your bank card, your checkbook, call that number or go online. If you write a check, call us and tell us what you're putting in the mail. Make the biggest gift you can. You are giving life. Go online, use your bank card like a check. That's how you should always use them. And we have gifts to send you, but remember this. You really are giving the greatest gift. And we're going to tell them where it came from. The love of God through Jesus. And in demonstration, they're going to see that love and come to trust Him. You can count on it. Thank you so much for putting God's arms around someone. Thank you.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you 365 days of courage. Filled with scriptures and words of encouragement, this daily devotional will give you the confidence that comes from knowing how God sees you. Take courage in Christ's love and be ready to conquer each day. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessing Framed Art. This beautiful wall art will grace your home or office and serve as a daily reminder of God's blessing and kindness over your family. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
My prayer is that we haven't reached this child too late. My prayer is that the therapeutic food that we're bringing this child will save its life. But my other prayer is that we're able to reach the many mothers in villages all over this area, just like Marta, mothers who are so desperate for food that we can reach them before their children end up in malnutrition clinics. You can be an answer to that prayer. You can provide the resources today to enable our mission teams to bring that food to these villages, to bring food to mothers like Marta. So please, I'm asking you today to go to the phone or get online and give the very best gift that you can give. Give the gift of food. Give the gift of life.
You know, I love looking at the gifts that we're going to send you, but I really rejoice over the gift that you're giving. I want to remind you, this is the last week, and boy, we need an outpouring of love. I want to send you this, along with 365 Days of Courage, the other gifts that we've mentioned, but I want it to go not only in your hand, I want it to go in your heart. And I believe we can turn this nation back to God. And I believe we can save the future of freedom and show people what a healthy family of God looks like. E.W., let's do another show this week. And let's go into some of the details in the book that'll help people know exactly what they have to do. But you couldn't have put it in greater detail than you did right here. Get the book online, tell your friends to get it, or no, we'll send it to you today if you'll just help us put God's arms around some very, very hungry children. Thank you so much. E.W. will be back with us, and he's going to bless you.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news from all of the outreaches of Life. Subscribe, follow, like, and get the Life Today social media experience.
And it breaks my heart because I don't know what kind of world our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren are going to live in.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.